Too many cocktails where my feet go.
Should put some shoes on.
No, fuck off.
All right.
You poke the lion, you're going to get the roar, buddy.
Roar.
I'm in my roaring 30s right now.
I'm in my roaring 420s right now.
The roaring 420s.
Beautiful carpet.
Yeah, that's definitely Oliver's work.
What?
The carpet.
He made this?
No, he definitely bought it.
No, he didn't buy it. It's his grandma's.
That doesn't seem like work to me.
It's his Swiss grandma's.
Oh, that would explain all the holes in it. Fuck.
No, that was sick.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
No, I actually got that joke. So the fact that that...
Obviously it hit.
You're listening to the Super Week, Super Weekly Supercast. I'm your host, Evan.
And I'm your host, Doc Chris Baglivo Bag.
And I am your host, Mikey Paul Jonathan Davis. Smoke all the weed, Tastian.
And today we have a very special guest all the way on the couch next to me.
The Waz, baby.
The Waz.
Yes, that's right. We got Phil Warner in the house with us. That's and right. You might know Phil from bands like Luther, Yankee Bluff, Quit, Spirit of the Beehive, of course.
Sun Organ
with Sun Timmy. With our past guest, Timmy.
Uh-huh.
And Phil thought this was important to include. He played two shows in a band called Laurels.
The Laurels. Please.
That only a handful of people know. But that's great because only a handful of people listen to this podcast. So
oh, that's great. Yeah.
Chances are everyone who's heard of that band. Yeah.
So they get it. They're all applauding and cheering out there right now.
Also, I believe great Justin used to live in this very house.
Is that true?
And I believe my room was his room.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Anything left behind?
No. Well, Ian moved into it first.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Ian took the treasure map he left behind.
Right? Did Justin live with, like, Dave Kleiman? This is probably around the era of the Laurels.
I don't know where he was living at the time.
Well, I could be wrong. And don't email us because we don't care.
Yeah. No one would email us about that one.
The last time I was at this house, we were eating food that you got out of the garbage.
That could have been any given Sunday.
It was a weekday.
It was the Lord's
Day. And it was definitely ravioli. And it was good.
Yeah, it was probably wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can recall them saying, we have pizzas on our roof from like last season, or I think it might have been the term thrown around.
Oh, we still have the pizzas on the roof from before COVID.
It's still out there, but I don't think it's technically pizza anymore.
No, it
anymore.
Is like a pile of decomposed mush.
Yeah.
But it's on our roof.
It's roof compost.
Funny that it was from, I believe you were dumpster diving at Aldi.
Oh, yeah.
Which already has dumpster diving prices that I feel like you could just get the freshies.
See, here's the thing. We could.
Support local business.
Aldi's from Germany, my guy.
Yeah.
You're saying like of this earth. Yeah, stop buying off planet, everyone. We don't need any more of that Martian produce coming in.
Look, I gotta say, sometimes you roll up to the dumpster and there's quite literally 40 frozen pizzas in it that are still cold.
You're right. I don't mean to knock that.
Yeah, don't knock that. We've had to strap them to the roof of Bill's car before because we got so much.
Now that is...
What are some of like the tools and hardware that have come out of there?
Oh my God.
Out of the dumpster?
Yeah, there's a full set of chisels that we have that are from the Aldi dumpster. There's a set of screwdrivers too, right?
To know about the screwdrivers, we got a whole bunch of like workout equipment, like hand strengtheners, jump ropes, things you pull and then they go back to being a shape and...
Slinkies.
Yes.
Elastic
essentially, yeah. Slinky, elastic band.
Sure.
Stretch Armstrongs.
Mm. For the buff child.
Yeah, yes.
There's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. You get all kinds of great stuff. Sometimes you want to work on your house and you get it in the dumpster of Aldi and you work on your house with it.
That's true.
Probably a saw. Definitely saw
a
horses.
A saw in the garbage. Seems dangerous.
Exactly.
First off, Aldi.
And you save the next person.
Yeah, it's a trap, though, for sure. Well, Jigsaw is the CEO of Aldi. I don't know if you know that.
I didn't know that.
Some seasonal humor for you. It's some horror movie references.
Yeah.
I don't get that one. Oh, wait. I get it because it's from Saw. Got it.
Yeah. A scary movie.
I haven't seen that.
You never seen Saw? You've never seen Saw?
I never see Saw, no.
They're pretty good. Saw 40 is my favorite, I think.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's the Judd Apatow one. This is Saw 40.
There's something about Saw where he gets the jizz stuck in his hair.
Never saw 40.
He gets the saw blade stuck in his hair. What was your joke, Mikey? Sorry.
Never saw 40?
Yes.
I don't know that one.
Like kind of like you never lived to see 40.
This is dark.
Never saw 40.
Saw
40.
Oh, boy.
Are any of us 40?
No, I don't think we made it yet.
Yeah, me neither.
And they knock on some wood.
Okay. And Mikey
just... Hard as a rock right now, yeah.
Yeah.
Mikey just You're knocked welcome. On his penis.
Well, with all this delightful preamble out of the way, Phil, we've known each other for a long time.
Yeah, it's true. We go way back to the when fire. I first moved to Philadelphia. Not even the fire. Well, yeah, I guess that.
We're not going to talk about the band you were playing in, but we definitely.
Oh, yes, the Great Chicago Fire, where we met when we were trying to stop that cow from burning down the city of Chicago in 1870-something.
That's actually why you went vegan, isn't it? Because the cow burned down your city, and you never wanted to eat one again.
Oh, yeah, I knew they were out to get me, so I tried to make peace. Yeah, that's the olive branch.
This is the city of doctors?
Well, I'm the only survivor from my home planet of Chicago. Yeah. No, I'm from Philadelphia on Earth. Enough intergalactic humor for this episode.
It's not.
All the sci-fi fans are really psyched out there.
Bill's actually going to give us a dissertation on Star Trek later.
I actually am not.
Sweet, me neither.
I saw TNG when it was on TV when I was a child, and that was about it. I did love it. It's the best one. It is the best one.
Yeah, I really love that show.
As far as I can remember.
So what is it like being Dave Grohl's brother?
Super fun. I can't.
And you're famous. I mean,
I can't. How do I riff on this? Because I have no idea what the reference is.
Sorry, me never attacked anyone like that.
Is it a big me reference?
No, I don't. I'm sorry. I pulled that on my ass for no reason.
That's fine.
Phil's trying to make that punchline work because, of course, Phil is a notably tall man.
Yeah,
you're
still
715 feet tall, right?
Yes, still very tall.
How tall are you actually?
6'5".
Wow.
On the dot.
Are you taller than your brother?
That's up for debate. It seems like it changes every day, every time I see him.
Mm, depending on which one of you has shoes on.
True, which is usually him. He's like the professional.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're rockers over here. You're wearing some Birks right now.
Are you kidding me? Total Earth child.
Oh, yeah.
We're probably about the same size. He's got like a large frame. You know, he's got like a football frame. I just feel like a stretched out person. Mm. You know?
Oh, like a Stretch Armstrong, if
exactly.
you will. Yeah.
Should just take a page out of the Kyle Pulley book, go find some nice dress shoes at thrift stores.
I do that sometimes.
And you might, then.
To make me smaller?
To make yourself taller.
I just see that's something I don't need.
Get a nice power heel.
Make yourself smaller. Use your body as a shoe tree. Crawl in there. The shoe gets bigger. You get smaller. Everybody wins.
You wear the nice shoes too, and then you feel taller than him.
Right. Oh, yeah. This is about Adrian. I forgot about that.
I think Phil is taller than everyone.
It's true. Most people, yeah. I would faint if someone was taller than me and I was around them.
Wow, you and your brother, when you're trading back and forth, you must faint a lot.
Yeah, it's true. We're large.
Well, anyway, we've known Phil a long time.
Still tall. Still very tired all the time. They probably have something to do with each other. I didn't really think about that.
Well, the air is thinner up there. That's so true. Yeah.
It's the same.
Yes.
You're just always getting contact high.
It's true.
From what? What's
from
up
radiation
there?
From the sun.
You're just too damn close. Yeah.
From all the smoke, you know?
Yeah, from the solar flares. I heard them.
All of the smoke.
Oh, like there's a dome, like an under the dome scenario where Phil's head is scraping the top and all of the smoke from the inhabitants is gathering up there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting the supreme weed. Contact high.
Right.
Man, I'm really pandering to the sci-fi fans out there, sci-fi horror fans.
I have no idea what you're talking about at this
point.
It's
a Stephen King book.
Yeah, I didn't get it either.
Okay, cool. No, that means nothing's changed.
So, Phil, we've known you for a long time.
Yeah, still very tall.
Let's see. Going back, we met each other when you lived in Philadelphia, which you still do.
I still do, yes.
We met at the fire at a gig.
Mm-hmm. See, I didn't think it was the fire. I would have thought
it was. Oh, it was the fire.
It always is the fire.
It was the fire first and then B&D.
Okay. What was the show at the fire?
Maybe it was B&D first, actually.
Wait, which B&D?
Breakfast and Dessert.
No, I lived at Breakfast and Dessert.
Yeah, I know.
Did you play at my house?
Yeah.
Did I meet you then?
Multiple times.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You should kill him.
Well,
you could easily.
We'll say I definitely could.
Yeah.
No, you don't have
but
to.
But I won't.
Just pick me up and squeeze me. I'll pop. But wait, when? What year?
It was probably I think I moved here in 2008, 2009, maybe. Nick Finelli was the first person that I met when I moved to Philadelphia.
He's like a Philly ambassador. Yeah, that makes absolutely. Sense. Our past guest, Nick Finelli.
And he was living there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then
it was me, him, Kyle Graham, Brian Glassett, and Trey Shields, I want to say, were the crew.
Who was the third person?
The third on that list, Kyle Graham.
That was the second.
I said me and Nick, and then Kyle Graham. But Brian Glassett was the fourth on that list.
Brian.
Yes. Did you get to know him well?
I did, yeah.
He's the guy who gave me the nickname the Doctor.
Wow.
And now he's a transcendental meditation yogi out in Iowa.
That's right.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And he was the bass
very
player,
pleasant person.
The original bass player in our band, The Skateboards, that is the precursor, the pre-precursor to the Super Week. So.
Wow.
It's a little B&D history for you right
Very
there.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember seeing, like, early on going to Ava House, seeing Dangerous Ponies there. It was one of my first shows in Philly. Absolutely thrilled. Love that band so much.
Did we play?
What did you play?
No, I don't have the same. You said was did we play? So try to answer that question first.
I was starting. I was going down one road, and I made a hard left.
Mm-hmm. No signal.
Right after.
We were all in the car. We felt it happen.
No, I was going to wonder, did we play that night? Because that was one of the nights that, you know, Mikey didn't make one of the shows there.
Mm. Right.
We were supposed to play with Glockamora.
Mm.
And
definitely would have been there.
But I had better plans that night.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want the secret backstory to that wild night, you can listen back to the Francis Quinlan episode where Mikey shares that very story.
Well, I'm sure we played Ava House other times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Marky.
I love Ava House.
Me too. That place fucking rocked.
Yeah.
It did rock.
So cool.
Spot. Yeah, you just walked up those stairs and it was like a big open space. It was perfect for
Tons
shows.
Of cigarette smoking.
Tons of cigarette smoking. Yeah, I didn't love that so much.
I remember someone being there with like a pet fox or a pet ferret or something at one point.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you got to get that thing out of here, man.
Wait a minute.
So much smoking going on.
Was it a girl who had it?
Certainly was.
She dated Brian Glassett for a brief period of time. I forget her name.
There you go.
Yeah, that was super, super wacky.
I wonder how the animal's doing.
Probably
definitely
dead by now.
Yeah, it's fucked up from all those things. It's probably in an iron lung somewhere.
I don't think the average fox lifespan is over 10. Oh, I guess maybe, what I want to guess here, 16 years? What's the over-under on that?
I think that's about 420. That's about right.
Yeah, we're all zoologists. We can agree on that.
That's probably the best I can do is agree with you. Yeah, it must be 16.
Mm-hmm.
69 years.
Sure.
It's an old ass fox.
That's a silver fox right there, 69 years.
And that was about 20 years ago, so.
20 years ago, what were you doing there as a tween?
Just, you know, seeing what my future was going to be like.
Smoking cigs with a ferret?
Yeah. It's cool.
That is cool. Sorry, I'm Googling. Oh, man, a fox lives for 4 years.
Oh, my God. So definitely have two with that one. With the smoking.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Cut it right in half.
He's a badass fox.
Keith cool. Richards is still alive.
That's just because, you know, he's alive now. Because he's happy.
Yeah.
Clean drugs.
And also, like, all the embalming fluid and stuff that he drinks all the time.
Good and clean drugs.
A completely hollow man.
Keep you running good.
To be fair, to Mikey's point there, that is something that Keith Richards has claimed, is that because he has done clean heroin his entire life, it's kept him in good shape.
I just farted unclean air, I tell you what.
Damn. There goes 6 days off my life.
Remember the old cig ads that were like, every time you smoke a cigarette, 9 minutes is cut off your life?
Yeah.
And I think about that and I'm like, oh, it's probably because it takes 9 minutes to smoke the cigarette.
Maybe that's what they just meant. You're not doing anything.
Is that what they
were? I don't think that's what
they're
saying.
Smoke while you're doing your homework and while you're, you know, doing other stuff. Yeah, dude. Get those 9 minutes back.
I don't know. I just thought about that recently and was like, is that what they meant? Because it takes that amount of time?
No, that's not what they mean. They're probably saying, using a bunch of averages in terms of like when lung cancer happens, how likely lung cancer becomes when you smoke frequently, and like how likely you are to get lung cancer based on how many cigarettes that you have had statistically, it equates to probably like 9 minutes approximately is
Fake
my
news.
Guess.
I don't believe it.
A lot of caveats there. Yeah. I'm really working in defense of big anti-sig or whatever. Big truth out there. That was what the campaign was, right?
Yeah.
Truth?
Truth.
This is your brain on drugs.
This is your brain on truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that classic, This Is Your Brain on Drugs, where the girl from She's All That, maybe? I forget the actress's name.
Naomi Campbell.
Was it?
Naomi Campbell.
No, it's not Naomi Campbell. She's a three-namer.
Rachel from Friends?
It's not Jennifer Aniston, no.
The other one from Friends?
A three-namer?
It's not Monica. Who played Monica? Or are you talking about Phoebe?
No.
No? Chandler?
No, Monica.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she was married to that guy who was in the wrestling movie, and he was in Scream.
John Cena.
Yes. Mickey Rourke, John Cena, full name. It's his traditional Irish name. Courtney Cox is who you're referencing.
Yeah,
no,
that's
not Courtney Cox either. Her name's like not Jennifer Love Hewitt. It's like a three-namer like
Jennifer
that.
Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Not Jennifer Jason Leigh, younger.
Jennifer Justin Leigh.
No.
Justin.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
No.
That is a three-namer.
That is a three-namer. You are correct.
Rachel Leigh Cook.
Rachel Leigh Cook. That's the one. She cracks the eggs and fries them. First she holds up the egg. This is your brain. Cracks the egg, fries it. This is your brain on drugs.
Rachel Leigh cooks on drugs.
Right. Rachel Leigh cooks on drugs.
That's why she got the gig.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was nepotism. But it's like, Well, your brain on drugs is pretty tasty and a healthy delicious. Treat. So what are you, what's the message you're trying to send?
Much like drugs.
Much like, but much like Gaston, you would eat like 40 eggs a day, right?
40 eggs a day. I only eat eggs at night. So I have nice, strong dreams.
This is your brain on a little bit of butter and drugs.
I would watch that cooking channel. That sounds pretty good.
Well, it looks like we're all making weed butter for the rest of the episode.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, that's the subtle bubbling you'll hear in the background, humble listener, is going to be us making weed butter.
What's the proper ratio for that? I always tried and feel like I was fucking up.
Take some weed.
Yeah, how much weed?
Take some coconut oil.
I've been doing it with some and some, but I need some exact.
Then you go on the internet and you type into Google, how much is too much?
You can put any specifics in there or just okay. Google will know.
I would say
an eighth to a stick of butter.
An eighth is a good amount to use, but also you want to use a fatty substance to have the THC cling to.
Yeah, from those fucking dank nugs.
Coconut oil.
Coconut oil
give
good.
You the most bang for your buck.
For sure.
And they say, like the reviews say that like you can make such strong butter or like coconut oil, blah, 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 that you could like trip from it.
Yeah, as somebody who used whatever weed remained at our trip to Aruba from when we went there, I also don't really imbibe marijuana because it doesn't do great things for me.
Drains his bank account.
I love this stuff.
It just about everything drains my bank account. So, no, usually it makes me huddle in a corner for hours.
Blair Witch style.
Yeah, I never saw that. You smoke
the weed,
either.
You throw the map in the river.
Oh, well, I'll probably throw the map in the river anyway.
Leave your teeth behind in the woods for your friends to find.
Oh, my God. Why do we have teeth smoke there? It.
Why do you guys have dentures? Anyway, what ended up happening was I cooked a very tiny bit of weed into four brownies using coconut oil, and then I couldn't tell the difference between hot and cold for 2 days.
Wow.
2 days?
That's a long time.
Yeah, I ate.
Weather, you talking about the weather or water or what?
Water, like I went.
Anything.
So I ate it and I was sitting in like a hot tub.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when it hits you full on, it sounded like everyone was speaking alien to me. And I was like, oh no.
Starts to fry your brain.
Just like the eggs, like Rachel Lee Cook. But then, you know, went to bed, woke up the next morning, went to take a shower, turned the water all the way to hot, couldn't tell if it was cold or hot, turned it all the way to cold, couldn't tell the difference.
Wow.
Put it in the middle, just left it there because I was like, I don't even know what's going on here.
And he hasn't showered since.
And then I flew home on a plane and left the brownies out for whoever worked there.
On the plane?
Snakes were on the plane. I did see that.
It's their only weakness.
I made those snakes trip.
Well, they can't help but swallow it whole. They only got the two teeth for venom. So
that's true.
You just got to suck that whole thing down, have a terrible trip. And
oh my God, yeah, such a slow high.
Yeah, and then when they can't tell the difference between hot and cold, they're
that'll
cold-blooded.
That'll really mess them up.
So the snakes, they overheat.
Point of my story was, try coconut oil.
I have. That's what I've used in the past. Aldi in the store has, you know, a nice $5 whatever ounce of
foot long
coconut oil.
Well, here's what I'll tell you. It's a 16-ounce jar.
16-ounce jar, and you put a quarter of weed in it, and it's really good. You get your toll house roll.
I don't think you need that much. You don't have to use all 16.
Yeah. Well, then you have it to make some stuff.
Oh, I don't know how to make weed butter.
You get potatoes and molasses. It's love the only show. Thing left on your checklist.
You talking about Over the Garden Wall right now?
I am.
Fuck, I love that show so much.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
Oh, such an excellent piece.
Potatoes, molasses, and weed butter have something to do with the show?
Sort of, yeah.
I know. I'm just a fucking dumb brain.
That's fair.
And I just ran an amazing TV show into the conversation.
Such a good show.
I mean, that's all I ever do. So.
It's a great animated show. Like, you should definitely watch it. You're just going to love it. I know
there's
it's so well done.
10 minute episodes about two brothers who are lost in some fantasy world in the woods, trying to make their way back home. Every episode, they get to some freaky place, some other weird town with some shtick going on. And
so great.
So
it's
fucking
it's
good.
So well done. Like, it's because it's just so good. It's so sweet and cute.
But it's cute, it's funny.
Yeah,
it's cool.
but it's not
it's hot,
it's so good.
Sick, dope.
Yeah, dude.
Did you say it's lit?
Sure.
That's fire?
It. Yeah.
That's all I got.
You're good.
Thanks.
Well, I'm sold.
Yeah, it's great. Definitely watch it. And watch it all in one sitting, too. It'll
all only you take hearing you viewers at home.
100 minutes.
You watch it.
That was some quick math.
Thank you.
For the listener, Phil counted all of that on his fingers.
Phil made me tall.
Counting the 10. I'm so tall, I counted the 10 on one hand. What else are you going to ask me?
So, as you've alluded to a few times, you moved to Philadelphia. You were a transplant here.
Sure.
Where were you from before?
I'm from a super well-known, beautiful area of the Poconos, Drums, Pennsylvania.
Wow, you were born to be a musician.
Exactly.
That's why you play guitar. Yeah. You're trying to break the stigma of, the, of your hometown.
Drum Phil.
Drums, Pennsylvania. Wow. Home of, I don't know, there's lots of corn, lots of, not a lot of people. Jack Palance, the famed actor.
Oh, Jack Palance, right? Isn't that how you say his name?
Well, up in Drums, we say Palance.
He changed it for Hollywood.
He was probably 1,000 years old when I was a kid. We used to see him at the grocery store, and he would wear Velcro shoes all the time. And I remember asking him, he's like, "Why? You're so old. Like, why are you wearing Velcro shoes?" And he'd get really mad. Because I was a kid, I was like, Velcro shoes are for young kids. You're an adult. You should know how to fucking tie your shoes. You're a critically acclaimed, Oscar-winning...
Neo-noir star.
Scraggly actor.
Yeah.
And he was a pretty angry guy. But besides him, I'm probably the most famous person from Drums. Also the tallest.
Well, it's debate between you and your brother.
Truly. He lives in Connecticut now, though.
Oh, much he smaller left Philly.
State. He has, yeah. Mm. Old news, Evan. Mm.
But you guys can still see each other when you stand fully upright on your tiptoes. Up,
yeah.
You
if look over all the if buildings. We both stand on the roof of our cars, yeah. We can wave to each other.
Well, what made you come to Philadelphia? What was the draw?
I had gotten into playing music. I had maybe four friends where I lived in a 10-mile radius, and one of them also played music. We started playing music together for a little bit, playing shows at like, remember The Strand? In McAdoo.
The name is familiar.
It's like a roller rink, and on the top floor was a dance studio.
Where's McAdoo?
It's right next to Drums. Get a fucking map of Pennsylvania in here right now.
I left the map in the woods, Phil.
Oh, that's right. You threw it in the river.
Oh, that's what I did.
McAdoo sounds like my grandma messed up insulting me. Like she tried to call me a wackadoo and embarrassed herself.
Yeah, there's a lot of really funny names up there.
Toementing.
Sure. That's down here, right?
Commencing trails?
Sure.
Sure.
McAdoo, Tresco.
It's in the Poconos.
Is it?
Dude, get a fucking map in here right now of Pennsylvania.
He installed the damn map when he lived here. That's now true. We don't know where anything is.
Yeah, we just need to ask Justin. He's from where I'm from, too.
Guys, I left the map in the river.
That's fair. Evan's standing and facing the corner right now as he's telling us this.
Shouldn't have drank all that weed coconut oil.
Oh, my God. I can't tell the difference between hot, cold, left, or right now.
It's just spinning in circles in the shower.
What were we talking about?
Why you came to Philadelphia.
Oh, God, I have no idea.
Even now you haven't found a reason yet?
Of course it was just
he
because...
He belittled Jack Palance too many times.
Oh, so you were...
kicked him out of Drums.
You're escaping
I was his understudy. I was his understudy.
In life?
I couldn't get any roles, so I had to go somewhere. I knew I had a future.
So you moved to guitar, right?
Yeah. I was trying to get a place in Synth, Pennsylvania. Oh, God. Anyway. No, I moved to Philly. I had some friends that I was starting to play music with that lived, like, you know, I had met a group of people further in the Poconos, like, what was that house called? Castle Weird Skull, Poconos.
Oh, I imagine a play on Castle Grayskull, of course, from, I almost said Hercules, from the He-Man cartoon.
I do think that is it, yeah. Was going to shows out there in the Poconos. That's like how I met Bear and like, who else was from out there? I can't really remember, but further deep in the Poconos, and as soon as that started happening, everybody was like, we're moving to Philly. I was like, all right, let's go. That was it.
Hey, Mom, Dad, these are my best fucking friends.
Castle Weird Skull, was that where Greek Favorites lived?
Yeah, oh yeah. They didn't live there, but they were from the area.
Yeah.
Yeah, Greek Favorites. Holy Mess, Captain We're Sinking, playing shows there. The Zing Dogs.
Sorry, what?
The Menzingers. they were like playing shows there and stuff. And yeah, all those people just kind of slowly started moving to Philly. When I first started coming down here, before I lived here, I went to a show at Titan House around here somewhere. What was that, like 5th and whatever? Who cares?
I would assume Titan probably.
Oh, that's right. Let's take that back. Went to a show there at Titan House. 5th and Titan, Philly, Pennsylvania. And I was talking to someone outside, and that person ended up saying where they were from. They were going to school at Temple. They were like from Tamaqua, Pennsylvania, is the town where like my grandmother lives. It's close to me. Couldn't fucking believe it. That person, Tim Buzz, son Organ Jordan.
Wow.
And I met him in that very hometown at our friend Anna Perry's birthday party.
Anna Perry, there you go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Did you, was it the birthday party at the camp?
Yes.
Oh my, you were
we
there?
Were also there? Oh my God. Holy wow. Shit. Yeah, yeah, I saw Justin and Tim. That's where I met them for the first time because they were playing. They were still in high school. And that version of Sun Organ was playing her birthday party.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Then I jammed with her dad for a little bit. I think we had, like, I brought my banjo maybe. And yeah, we
did
some real dork dad stuff. Yeah.
I was like, now I remember him.
Wow. So here's something that's interesting to me is many of these guests, these people usually say they're like from the Scranton, Pennsylvania area, sure. You know? But you're saying...
I don't know which part of Poconos. The Poconos, like, am I not in the... am I not actually from the Poconos?
I don't know where the
Scranton
fuck Scranton
not actually
is.
In the Poconos? I don't fucking know.
Well, how close were you to Mawchunk, or otherwise known as Jim Thorpe?
Oh, Jim Thorpe is probably about 45 minutes south of me.
Yeah, not squarely in the Pocono
not
Mountains.
Not too bad. Yeah, I used to work in Lehighton at a TV station.
Oh, whoa. What did you do there?
Fun. We would shoot, like... all the like high school and college sports games, you know, whatever our teams were in the area and however long they would like be doing well and going further into their season. I don't know anything about sports, but
hey, it's a big sports area. I mean, it's named after that triathlete, Jim Thorpe.
That's right.
Yeah. He played football.
I never put that together. Yeah. And he fucking did some crazy shit with like, he fucking ran, he did the thing with like two different shoes or something. He has like the record still for like the 100-meter dash or whatever.
The 100-meter, like, two different shoe race. Yeah. He's the only guy who ran it. So nobody else has ever taken him.
Yeah. So sick.
I feel like if you live in Philadelphia, like someone like you who lives like north of that mountain range, like you're absolutely from the Poconos to us.
Yeah. Totally. It's a pretty vague area, but I'm close to like, you know, it's like a half hour from Wilkes-Barre and stuff. That's like the Poconos. When I was like actually going to the Poconos, like Tannersville and Shroudsburg and stuff, like that was like an hour away from me. But like
Wilkes-Barre is
that's
the, Poconos?
The Poconos. I guess so. I don't know. Yeah. It's like,
I never thought of it like,
Northeast
personally.
PA, like Northeast PA and the Poconos. They're the fucking same thing to me.
Hmm.
You know,
I feel like it's like up there into the right
wrong,
a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I wish I knew the town, Mike. Grandparents lived in the Poconos, but they had a house there, and
I wish you did too.
It was definitely dirt roads.
Sure. How long ago was this?
Oh, when I was a child.
Wait, your parents had a house there?
My grandparents.
Oh.
I was making a dirt road joke.
Yeah, I was a child.
All right.
Hold on, probably paved them by now.
Oh, the classic genre of humor, dirt road jokes.
Oh my God.
Some Northeast Pennsylvania stuff right there.
For the listener, I don't know if you ever listened to Spirit of the Beehives album.
I haven't.
Pleasure Suck, but Phil makes a really wonderful joke in the middle of that album.
Oh, oh he's reading out of a joke book.
Corn
and we
balls.
Recorded him while he was doing it and then tape warped it, but yeah. It's very recognizable as your voice still.
It is now, yeah. Patty Murphy.
Yeah. I love also that you never read the joke before, so you laughed and then
you processed the joke in real time.
A very beautiful moment in time that also made me feel very like I can't trust Zach because he's always recording me. But I'm glad he did.
Finally, a concrete reason as to why we can't trust Zach.
You wouldn't believe how many people come up to me like, wait, are you Patty Murphy?
Is it because they hear your voice booming and they're like, wait a minute, I know that voice.
Because I'm always fucking doing nitrous and like,
oh, and saying racist thing about Irish people.
Oh, no, that's not it.
The cork fell out.
The cork fell out.
But yeah, for the listener to just completely ruin this joke, if you're unfamiliar, the idea is that Patty Murphy is sad because he's lost his luggage. Was that it? I don't remember the exact verbiage of the joke.
Yeah, I don't.
You can go listen to Pleasure Suck.
Listen to Pleasure Suck. Listen to the whole record.
Sure,
you'll find it
CD.
On there.
Track 8, maybe.
Phil's not racist. Let me clarify.
Thank you.
We edited this. You know, you could have even cut that out.
Oh, we can cut that out, too.
Yeah, please.
Cut this one out.
Cut that out.
Make the cork fall out on that one.
I feel like recording that album is when we got to get real tight.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was so much fun.
Spending 2 weeks in a cold ass.
I love that so much. I love the cold
much.
It was so nice to just roll out of the room, dangerously climb out of that loft. Remember when I fell down the ladder when all the steps gave out and I...
Oh, my God.
All the steps?
Yeah.
The whole
it was
steps.
So scary. Yeah, and then Kev Keenan came in. He's like, these are all just nailed in. I was like, I'm going to fix this right now. I've stepped on the first step, getting ready to work, and I just blasted through all the rest of the steps. Just like, boom, 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 boom. And there were just two nails on either side on each thing. I just like landed on my feet, and I was like, I got to go to work. I don't care about this. Most times, I would get down safely and, you know, just make a cup of coffee and go into the studio on my jammies and like be in there all day. Oh my God, that was so much fun. So cozy, so great.
We drank so much coffee.
Yeah, so much.
A lot of jokes, a lot of
endless
30 racks.
Yep.
In case it wasn't clearly established, what they're talking about right now is when Evan and I recorded the Spirit of the Beehive album, Pleasure Suck, while Phil was in the band Spirit of the Beehive. That was the most coffee I drank in my entire life. Mm-hmm. Like I would have anxiety anyway, because you guys were just like a perpetual motion machine of activity while we were recording.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, I was just loaded with caffeine. So like I could feel my heart hitting my rib cage like while we were working on stuff. And then on top of that, like every tonal choice for that record was the most bizarre, like anti-modern recording kind of approach to everything. And so it was like, yeah, this swirling cauldron of like bizarre activity that made a pretty sick record.
Yeah, I love that record a lot. I had so much fun recording that. Also, I'm sure it was pretty hard to handle. Everything that we were saying made no sense, only to us.
Yeah.
We've actually talked about this on a number of episodes. Yeah, you guys had your own inside joke speak that you would only communicate in.
I don't know what the hell we were talking about. I mean, I know exactly what we were talking about, but super fun. I just don't know what it's like. People mention it all the time. They're just like, God, you guys are just like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. I'm just like, I kind of don't either, but you just kind of got to say some shit. And hopefully it's funny.
Can you decode some of that for us? What are some classic...
Do you have any things you remember or what?
No. I mean, it's all nothing just specifically.
Pulled,
yeah,
everything is just pulled out of the ether and then you say it and then it's just gone. It's done. That's it. And if you remember it...
In true Beehive fashion, I step up into the ether. It's the spirit of the Beehive lyric I just threw at the listener there.
Very cool.
Doing my best Zach Schwartz impersonation.
Do it again.
I step up into the ether.
That was pretty good. Zach, he mostly talks like a baby here? Now.
Is that you?
Come over. I knew what he was doing. He's referencing Three Ninjas again.
Oh my God.
I remember Megan McGrumbo.
Megan McGrumbo.
Oh, that's one of my favorite bits where you guys would sing. What? Are you to
see, this is some shit I don't even know about.
It was Megan to the tune McGrumbo. Of Eleanor Rigby. And every time you'd make up a new name for the person in the song.
Very good.
Megan McGrumbo picks up the rice with his rice because she has too much rice. Look at this rice.
That's very good.
Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there was the classic saying that was born from that recording session, the one take Zorko.
Oh, of course.
We used that as like a thing when we were working with other artists while we were recording. And of course, they had no context for it. But finally, after years of saying it, while we were recording a Super Weeks record, Evan nailed a keyboard part. Oh, it was for the split that we did with Modern Baseball and Thin Lips for our song No Sorrow. Evan recorded a synth part, nailed it on the first take while I was filming him for Instagram, barrels the camera and says, that's a one take Zorko right there.
You zorked it.
He zorked it.
Very cool.
And we knew the impact was out there because Zach later contacted us and was like, did you just say one take Zorko? It's probably the most special he's ever felt in his
life. One of my favorite things about that session was Kevin Keenan had the wood shop right outside the studio. And he had his like critter and guitar-y, like the piano organ or whatever it's called.
What was that thing called?
I have the one yellow upstairs. Buttons. It's great.
Yeah, so
but
cool.
You and Zach, you're like, can we borrow this for the recording? And then proceeded to literally just over every song, like plug it into delay pedals in the lo-fi junkie and just like play melodies in it and be like, yeah, turning like Zach's playing a melody, you're turning knobs, you're playing a melody, Zach's turning knobs. And that's just like made it to every song on the record. And we were like, I guess that's what we did for 4 hours that day.
Yep.
I think if the listener wants to hear a solo bit of that on the record, the song where the first lyrics are, I stop my walk, I step in shit.
First track.
That starts with that very keyboard.
Yeah.
Get a taste for yourself, listener.
That one starts. Yeah, it does. Cause the pitch shifting one.
Mm-hmm.
It also, Zach had that, or you had that. One of you guys had that fucking like old Casio with all the drum buttons on it.
Oh my God. Yeah. That thing was great. One time we were playing a show. I forget where, but there was like a big break in the song towards the end. I think it's like Chumped or something or I don't know what it's called.
Chumped was that band. Yeah. Chump is the song.
We're playing Chump and I had hit a extremely high BPM samba beat purely accidental and it went so well. It went over so well with everyone in the band besides Zach. He was very upset. I was laughing so hard. I thought it was so fucking funny. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
That sounds great.
I've had an experience like that. Way too much backstory to this, but I'll make it short. I played when I was in high school in a cover band with all of the math teachers from my school. And the drummer was not a math teacher, he was a shop teacher, and he played an electronic drum kit. And he would cycle through different like sound patches for different songs. And I remember there was some 80s song we were playing that had like a full drum loop built into one of the crash cymbals. Sure. And I'd forgotten about it. And like in the middle of like, I don't know, like Your Love by the Outfield or whatever, suddenly this
perfect
like,
song.
perfect song to be ruined by a full on, like, you know, like wacky drum loop that came in from hitting the crash. And of course, like, we didn't know what was happening. It's like everyone in the band was like looking around. It's like trying to figure out where this fucking cacophonous noise is coming from. And we could see like the drummer just like panicking in the back, just like trying to find an opportunity to hit the crash cymbal again. And he just like hit it and had a kill switch. But fortunately for me, I was like, I'm already playing in a band with all of my high school math teachers. Any chaos is welcome to make this
truly
just a little bit more weird for me.
Yeah. You know, now that I think about that thing, I think I did that on purpose because at the time, Zach was introducing me as Shrek in the band.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to.
So I think I retaliated
put
by
him in his place.
Making a mockery of the silence that was supposed to be in the song by replacing it with a, once again, very high BPM samba beat.
That's beautiful.
That hit. That totally hit at the time. And I remember looking at Pat and he started laughing. He just started playing along to it. And Zach literally just like his arms are just like by his side. He's just like.
Got him.
But we also used to like play hacky sack on stage and stuff. So what the fuck else you want me to do? I don't know. Trying to have fun, please.
Yeah, Tom, get out of my swamp.
Hey, have you gone to the Shrek box?
What is that?
Oh, it's like one of those like library posts.
Yeah, like
typically
a newspaper box that's been repurposed as a Shrek shrine. It's got a bunch of onions in it.
I haven't
been
to
it. Philly?
Yeah, it's in Philly. It's pretty close
here.
It's on like 7th and Washington
all the time. Where is it?
7th and Washington?
By the weed store?
I don't know where there's a weed store.
This is starting to add up.
That's that makes sense. Yeah, it's like 8th and Passyunk.
Yeah, it's on Passyunk, yeah.
But
yeah.
You can leave something, you can take something. It's kind of like geocaching, I guess, but it's just right there. You can just open it up and take something.
So if I need leave some something onions.
Shrek related. See, that's the thing. I don't know if you want to. Well, you're taking stuff out of a dumpster, so I'm sure you can take stuff out of a newspaper box. It'll be fine.
He's not taking onions. He's leaving onions. Let's be clear.
No, I was going to take the onions.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, take an onion.
Look, sometimes you want to come back and you want to cut up some onions, throw them on a pan, throw a little bit of rice in it.
Yeah, that's called cooking.
Yeah. Tell us more, Phil.
About cooking?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
What's your favorite thing to cook?
What's my favorite thing to cook? Damn, that's a good question. I love making breakfast.
Oh, yeah, duh.
You know?
You lived at the warehouse. It's in your blood.
Be more specific. That's a category. What is your favorite breakfast item to cook?
Fucking eggs, dude. Are you kidding me? I eat a lot of eggs at night, but I eat a lot during the day, too.
Breakfast can be whenever you wake up. And if happens to be nighttime and you just woke up,
yeah,
it's still breakfast.
You know, and if I'm not feeling that, some heavy savory breakfast right away. If I have some cereal, maybe some oatmeal or something, I'll just have eggs for lunch. Mm. You know?
So you are the egg man.
It's true. The egg man. My parents have a good egg hookup too. So I always have a couple dozen in the fridge.
Oh, they know an ostrich?
If you guys need any eggs, please let me know. No, they're chicken eggs. They're not. What did you say? An ostrich?
Yeah, I was just checking.
No, it's not an ostrich.
You're just chicken?
That's just chicken.
Fuck. That's good.
Cluck.
They had chickens for a while. Cluck. Wow. Really good. They had chickens for a while. They were getting a little unruly. I actually don't know if that's the case.
Oh, man.
They got rid of them because they were attracting
some switchblades.
They were attracting rats.
What?
Which is weird. There was all these like weird little like divots in the yard. These like, you know, all these like lines everywhere. And we realized they were just like all leading to the chicken thing. And all these like animals were coming in and like eating the eggs. So it sucks.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to eat the eggs.
Yeah, those are for you.
Yeah.
Well, was there one big line in the dirt afterwards, or was you going back and forth in the chicken coop?
No, there wasn't. I got them right from the fridge, baby.
That's no longer a dirt road. That is paved.
That's some dirt road humor.
I was trying.
Classic Northeast Pennsylvania stuff right there.
Yeah. Vague.
All the Quakers out there are just losing it.
They know me. The Waz. You're the only person that calls me that, so.
Yeah, it's a great name.
Thank you. I think I know how that started, but I don't know why do you call me that?
I don't know if you've seen my thumbs here.
Sure.
They're fat.
I can't see where this is going. Continue.
When I would type Phil Warner on the keyboard of my phone, I kept typing Phil Wasner.
They're nowhere near each other. Oh my God.
And then I was like, yeah, the Waz, dude.
The Waz, baby.
You got Phil Wasner out here.
That's what's up.
And then, you know, turned into the Waz. Because it's also.
They're like kind of near each other, but they're two rows away.
They're on the same screen on your phone, yes.
I have.
They're both on the left side. There's that.
They're both on the left.
I have really fat thumbs, and if I don't feel like looking at what I'm typing when I'm typing, all kinds of shit goes through.
That's true. Don't you have spell check?
Look, when I had an iPhone, it just auto-corrected everything to different words than I meant anyway.
To Waz.
And then, you know, this phone now, I just, I don't know.
For the listener to visualize Evan's thumbs, his hands look like two fists with a Twinkie coming out of each one. So,
oh my God.
In his defense, I feel like it's the whole keyboard whenever he puts his thumb down.
Essentially, yeah. Yes.
How about swipe? Don't you use swipe?
I do, except then it just is.
You probably wear right through the glass with those
things. Oh my God.
Yeah, they're like a cat's tongue. They're extremely rough.
Yeah, your barbed thumbs.
Yeah. He can just scale walls, no problem.
Oh my God, to be an Evan on the wall right now.
I dropped my microphone.
That's a cool thing.
Yeah. That's the mic drop moment.
Mic drop, time to listen to this week's song.
Hell yeah.
Mic drop, piss in the toilet.
That was a pretty good.
Is that the real segue?
That was this week's song.
What'd you think of my stuff?
Oh my God. Hot stuff.
You understood it.
Yeah.
You understood the track.
I know.
It sounded like Hole.
Sure.
It sounded like Super Drag, what you were doing.
Thank you very much. A favorite of mine.
I love. What's your favorite Super Drag record?
Regretfully Yours.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I mean.
They got it in one.
That's the one.
What's your favorite song on Regretfully Yours?
N.A. Kicker, for sure.
Good one.
Okay.
I love that song so much. Also, Carried was like the one that I was like, oh my God, this is exactly what I want to be hearing. It's so on the nose with Power Pop. It's so good.
What is the...
First track is great.
It's not it's something like a machine, like a game machine of some kind.
Slot machine. Phaser, dude.
Oh my God.
Combo. Punch.
Ooh, Phaser. God. Phaser is not only my least favorite effects, but my favorite Super Drag track.
Well,
it's a cosmic one of my
favorites. Phaser is my favorite effect and my favorite Super Drag track.
All right, I was lying. Not to make you feel bad. It's not my least favorite effect. Probably the tuner. This is the million. Doesn't do anything.
It turns your signal off. I guess it is an effect.
Mm-hmm.
Oof, what a good record that one was.
Yeah,
oh,
so
God.
Good. Really, really hit me.
And of course,
Young
Age single
too.
Sucked Out.
Yeah.
It's one of the greatest power pop songs of all time.
Yeah, incredible.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
See, the interesting thing about that band, their philosophy was no two records should be the same. So they wanted to keep doing something different every time. And unfortunately, that
didn't happen.
That's not the marketability.
I'm going to say
did that really happened.
Yeah, they did. And they put out three perfect albums.
They did.
They're all fucking incredible. They're different than that one.
Are they that much different? I don't
know.
Yeah,
they get pretty different. Like they get pretty like psychedelic on Head Trip in every key. And like,
Sure.
Fucking phenomenal band.
Yeah.
One of the most underrated bands, I think, that has had ever had a popular song on the radio. You know, I think they really just knocked it out of the park every single record.
Wonder if they do anything else.
Yeah, John, I think his name is actually John Davis.
Jonathan Davis.
The guy, the singer of the band. I believe his name is John Davis. We're going to have to look this up before I absolutely ruin this.
Bop Arena or whatever Jonathan Davis says on Freak on a Leash. I'm excited to find out if this is the same guy.
Yeah, John Davis is the main dude of the band, and He puts out solo albums. He had a band that he did afterwards that was really good.
Yeah, Korn.
Oh, God.
Nice, Becky. Give it to me. My dude.
The Lees of Memory he was doing afterwards, and he recently put out a solo album a couple of years ago that me and Ian Farmer were kind of losing it over a little bit.
Sure.
John Davis's shit.
I'll check it out.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Good songwriter.
He's got it in him, it seems.
Definitely got it in him. I mean, when you make that album is 13 songs long.
Uh-huh. And they're all great.
They're all great.
Yeah.
All of them.
Love me a little Garmin Bozia.
Oh, yeah.
A reference to that classic David Lynch word that he made up.
Yeah, came to fame. Twin Peaks season 3, baby. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not just Bob, folks. There's vocab in there.
That's right. Ask me more questions.
Oh, right. You're still here.
What's your favorite Twin Peaks episode?
Oh, my God. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't care about it.
I care about it, but like, I don't know.
I don't care to hear your answer.
Yeah,
the best quote is the, there was a fish in the percolator.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Minute one, episode one, season one.
Is that true? Is that right in the beginning?
Yeah, that's the first line, I think, yeah.
Wow. They really messed up setting the tone.
Not the first line.
It's pretty early.
Yeah.
Pretty early on.
I thought it was Jacob Marley was dead. He was cold as a whatever the opening of Charles cold Dickens' Christmas Carol is. He's cold as a fish in a percolator.
All right, Chris, take this podcast in some sort of a direction.
Phil, I consider you to be an influential musician with your
activity.
Yeah, I mean, you influenced me with your nastiness on the Spirit of the Beehive records that we had the pleasure of getting in.
Very cool.
Dirty details. Yeah,
let's talk about Luther.
Sure.
And,
what do you want
to
know?
And asked me to segue into something, and I actually was going there, and you just...
You go first.
You jumped me. No,
go Luther will always be there. You can go first.
Well, it all started somewhere. Why don't you talk about the band that put you on the map in the Philadelphia scene, Luther?
Wait, were you going to do that?
That's where I was going.
Wow. Very cool.
We have a symbiotic relationship. Yeah, right. We're connected at the liver, much like Matt Damon and Greg Kinnear.
Oh my God.
I don't get that joke.
I get it, but
it's a bad movie. You wish you didn't. You wish you didn't. But talk about Luther.
Luther was cool. it was to me anyway. I think some people liked it. I had a lot of fun being in that band. A lot of fun.
There's a lot of notable members who've gone on to do other great things.
Yes, let's go through the list. Well, first you have me. We'll go in order of best to despicable.
Wow, I cannot wait to hear your
number
list.
One is me, the Waz, Phil Warner, Philip Warner. I guess 2, 3, and 4 would be. you have Andy Clark on drums. Great drummer. Fantastic person.
Good old recording engineer.
And it rose to fame as the best fucking front of house sound guy anybody could ask for. That's true.
And the Menzo's personal guy.
That's right. Also great driver.
Oh, I didn't know he was a golfer.
That was good for Mikey. I'm talking van wise.
Mikey's smiling.
He also runs Retro City Recordings.
Beautiful, excellent recording studio, which I've been to a few times. There is like a floating lost Luther second full length that exists in the hard drive of that building.
Oh no, did a ghost take it?
I'm not sure. I would imagine that place couldn't be haunted.
Did you
not
finish recording vocals?
I forget what happened, but it doesn't exist. Some of those songs are cool. There's like some demos. I mean, they're all great. Some of those songs exist as demos on like a Bandcamp somewhere, but it would have really changed the trajectory of everything I think about that, if that would have come out or not, you know, but it'd be fun. Anyway, second most despicable, Nick Harris. Just kidding. Oh my God. That made me feel weird.
He is the sweetest man of all time.
Yeah. Great. Absolutely. Great guy. The most fun that I have ever had writing songs with someone. We definitely had a lot of fun. Just like, you know, come to my house, grab a six pack, sit. Here's my riff, play something. Here's your riff, play something over it. I don't know. We really had like a good thing going on with like, there was a trust there with each other. Like I would never be weary of what he was going to be doing on a song. I think he felt the same for me, which was cool. And I like those songs a lot that we wrote together. It was super fun. Original bass player, Dan Blackbeard Hendrix.
What a name.
So cool. I don't know what he's doing.
He was named Blackbeard after the famous pirate because he loved to put lit candles in his beard.
Yes. You would recognize him from the wooden legs. Just kidding. Fuck. He played a couple of shows with us. And then Greg Karlowitz, Greg Karlowitz.
Oh.
Joined the band for the length of the band.
I didn't know Metal Greg was in Luther.
Me neither, until now. I'm reading the Wikipedia page right now.
Most despicable member of Luther, Metal Greg.
Yeah, that was a lineup for the bulk of it, for sure. Super fun. We did a lot of touring. A lot of touring with that band. Oh, my God.
You're
it's called Velcro, dude.
True Ledge.
Right.
Evan has dropped his microphone yet again and knocked his seltzer over in the process. Wait, let's just talk about this real quick. The listener can't see this, but the fellows in the room can see that I'm Bob Barkering this episode where I'm holding the microphone in my hand the entire time. Because the other day, Evan knocked our fourth microphone stand over that we had.
I didn't knock it over. It fell over. Thank you.
And it landed on... Oh, well, why don't you detail the experience for the listener?
Well, that one had shitty fucking legs where, like, one of them was a little bent, you know?
Sure.
So, like, every once in a while, it just randomly fall over.
Rolled
so it fucking toppled over. And the part where you tighten it hit my desk, broke in half. The microphone slammed into my seltzer, which promptly poured
everywhere.
My keyboard.
I'm completely soaked right now.
So... Now, anytime I press a button on my keyboard,
seltzer comes out.
You press one button, it gives you four or five letters.
Now, when you're going somewhere with your laptop and you're shaking it all around, when you open it up, it sprays a bunch of seltzer.
No, I better not. Fortunately, that was my desktop computer keyboard, not my laptop.
Oh, sure, sure, sure.
Because if it were my laptop, we'd be fucked. Great minds think alike. What were we talking about, Luther? Oh, Metal Greg being the most despicable member.
Yeah, everyone in that band, that was the lineup for sure, for the bulk of it. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, touring a lot.
Played Fest
a million times. Fest was great. I often revisit the there's a full set of Luther at Fest 1000 or whatever the fuck it was at Lucy's. Very nice. One of my favorite shows ever. Very fun. A lot of memorable faces in the crowd, and some I don't recognize to this day.
Glory days.
I've tried to track them down to send a thank you card, but...
Wow, you might be the most despicable member of Luther.
You know, that's the whole point, man. That's the whole point.
You're a regular John Bon Jovi.
That band ended because I was shitty, and... No, this is going nowhere.
But you've seen 1,000 faces, you rocked them all.
That's true. So many. Did so much touring. Most of it was with Bouncing Souls, which was very sick. A band that only a few years prior I was going to see live and always loved them from a young age.
So what really gets you going? What kind of music got you going when you were young?
Oh, by Eric Clapton.
I mean Adderall, at least.
What kind of music when you were young, you know, when you were young Phil Warner in fucking Drums, Pennsylvania?
Oh, my God.
Still cocaine.
Thank God for Ritalin. No, when I was a kid, I'm lucky I have an older brother, Adrian, who we've talked about, who was also massive. He was really helpful with music and stuff. Like, you know, I was fucking there, man, when fucking Dookie dropped, when fucking Blue Album dropped.
Woo!
I was there. I couldn't read the words yet. But, you know, my brother was into really cool stuff. Later when we were like teenagers and stuff, he was like, you know, he was getting into electronic music and like industrial shit, you know, like I'll still fucking listen to like Typo and fucking Ministry and shit. You know, we kind of split at that point. Like I just had some weird brotherly feudal thing of like, well, if you like this stuff, like I can't like it. I have to like my own stuff. So, but then I segued into like hearing Green Day and Weezer as a kid, you know, hit so hard and then paved the way for like when I was a teenager and like, you know, I was in high school and like Stay What You Are came out and that like totally fucked me up and just kind of shit like that. I was like a drive-through head, Vagrant Head, Get Up Kids, shit like that.
Right there with you.
That was like the shit that made me want to play music and realizing like I could like sing along to all of Stay What You Are or Through Being Cool in the Car and just being like, I can do that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah. You ever listen to the band Diamond Youth?
Never.
They're a more recent band. But
sounds a little
first...
rich for my blood.
No, it's very affordable, very affordable. But their first record they put out was, it's a similar name to Through Being Cool. But there's like a dog with sunglasses
Don't
on the cover.
Don't lose your cool. I
Don't lose it. Your
Done
cool.
Done being chill.
It's an incredible power pop record that I feel like would fall right
really?
In line with the rest of those. Yeah.
See, this is what I love. Yeah, I love these kinds of wrecks.
I'm right there with you.
And what's it called? Dookie
the band's
what?
Diamond Youth. Don't lose your cool, maybe? I forget the name of the record.
Okay.
Look it up.
Right now?
Yeah, you
know, can I use the laptop that we're recording?
I'm right there with you growing up. My dad was cool, and he bought Dookie, and he bought the Blue Album.
Fuck yeah.
So when I was like fucking 6 or 7 or however old I was at that, probably around 7.
Mm-hmm.
When those albums came out, I remember seeing Buddy Holly's music video on The Box.
Oh my God.
The Box again.
What's The Box? A television?
It was a television channel in North Jersey that only played music videos. Could have been other places. I was from North Jersey.
It was a national thing, yeah.
But it only played music videos and you would put in, you know, you'd call in and put in a request or whatever. I think you had to pay or whatever.
They charged your phone. They charged the phone.
What?
The phone company.
That you,
crazy.
Like, they charged the number that dialed, so.
Yeah. Right. So if you were at somebody else's house, you could rack up their phone bill.
You could fucking.
Which is what Mikey did.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
He's nodding and smiling.
I was a shit kid.
I just remember seeing that music video and I was like, this is maybe the best music I've ever heard. And then my dad brought that home and I was like, that's it.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah, it's amazing how important those formative experiences are. Like, I always had a similar experience where my dad loved John Cougar Mellencamp and George Thorogood and the Delaware Destroyers. And he also had all of Frank Sinatra's greatest hits. So you mix those bad boys together. You got yourself a future Weezer fan, right? Yeah, that's so the midway point between those two things.
I would call that a duck bag cream pie.
I wouldn't.
I always confuse Frank Sinatra and Frank Zappa. Which one was the... One of them was blue, right?
Well, yeah, Frank Sinatra is the one who wrote the song G-Spot Tornado. And Frank Zappa did all those Christmas songs.
Frank Sinatra had that Billboard chart topper, Susie Cream Cheese.
Yeah, that's the one. Cosmic Slop and what have you. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know I love that. Cosmic Slop. Right? Something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Cosmic Debris. I fucking hate
Frank Zappa so much.
All right, next.
Oh, sorry, Cosmic Slop. Sorry, yeah, you're right. Cosmic Debris is the Frank Zappa one.
I just got to put it out there. Frank Zappa is John Gomm's favorite musician of all time. So please hit him up on Instagram.
Ooh, and don't and talk Twitter. To us about it.
We got to cut this part
talk
out.
Talk to John Gomm about Frank Zappa.
We got to cut this out. No Zappa stuff. None of this.
It's a joke. John and I have a recurring bit with Frank Zappa.
Which is?
Frank Zappa's bad.
That's the joke because he's really good?
Do you like Frank Zappa?
I'm not fucking saying yes now. Are you fucking kidding me? I'm in your house.
You can. I'm not going to judge you, you fucking idiot.
You can say whatever you want, you fucking dumbass.
All right. Well, in my defense, I was referencing much better music in Cosmic Slop because that's a Funkadelic song.
Fuck.
Adelic.
Anyway, cut this.
Yeah.
Blair Witch Project on three. Break.
One, two, three.
Blair Witch Project. Oh, I thought we were doing
I know you're the tallest man on earth, but are you the tallest man on earth?
That's a folk artist that Mikey loves. He goes by the name The Tallest Man on Earth.
I think I've heard some songs. I was like, funny enough, I do not relate to this at all.
You said this is me, right? Singing right now.
What?
Because it has to be you.
It's about me.
Oh, it's a concept band.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They saw you. They were inspired. Like the folk artists of old. Yeah.
Phil.
Got it.
Where have all the cowboys gone?
I'm not sure. I would assume probably like a Flying J or something. I don't know.
They're gassing up.
Which brings us to our next segment. Favorite travel stops. That was a good segue,
that was
right?
A great that, segue. Good, yeah. That was a great segue.
I'd have to think about that, honestly, because there's really only three, pretty much.
Three you travel stops.
You got your Flying J, your Loves, a Pilot. I'd go in that order, too.
Wait, what about Sheetz? That's regional.
Well, Sheetz is like, that's just a gas station.
What? Are you out of your mind?
I mean, I fucking love Sheetz, but
it's
not like...
It's one of the finest MTO stops in the nation.
You aren't going to fucking tell me about their $5 breakfast burrito that crushes.
That you can put tots in.
Hmm? Yeah, sure. I've only recently been into the potato in your food thing because Taco Bell now has the MTO thing and you can fucking put potatoes in whatever you want. I got it in a Baja Blast one time.
Oh, no. Have you ever been to Buc-ee's?
I've been to Buc-ee's. Yeah, see, we can all be talking about this.
What is Buc-ee's?
That's like a mall. Buc-ee's is, gas
oh my
station.
God. Yeah, it's like fucking insane. Like it's huge. They got the mascot. They got the fucking they got
everyone's
everything.
Everyone's there too. Everyone in Texas is there when you're there.
It's Frank more
Sinatra,
than a rest stop.
Frank Zappa, Frankenstein. They're all there.
Buc-ee's is cool. Yeah, I think I've only ever been to a Buc-ee's once.
Me too.
But it was awesome.
Actually, twice.
I got some trail mix. I do remember that.
It's legendary. It's got to make the top.
It's really cozy. It's like a country junction.
Now, see, now you're speaking my language. That's some real PA narrowcasting there.
Yeah.
You know, Country Junction, America's largest general store, for the listener who's not familiar, burned down.
What?
Yeah, and they were...
Now it's the smallest general store.
America's most reduced to ash.
Most reduced to ash. Fuck.
But yeah, I used to love going there as a kid because they had an animatronic pig in the front who played a fiddle and sang a theme song.
Yes.
America's largest country store.
There I was so into that place because it kind of transcends what is it? It's not a department store. I think they sell furniture sometimes.
They had a furniture section. They had a statue section where you could buy all your favorite
the statue
film characters.
Section.
So they had the Blues Brothers. They had Elvis. They had a number of other people you could buy fully painted, fully rendered, poured resin versions. And then there was also a candy section when you first walked in where you get a bunch of rock candy and stuff.
Yeah.
There was a scented candle section. There was a year-round Christmas section.
That's right. I do remember there being trees inside, decorative style.
They were always ready. Just in case Christmas struck on unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. And I think there's also like fresh food and stuff you could buy. Well, I say fresh, but it was like a White Castle.
Right. Stuff
rebranded.
You can eat.
Yeah. Stuff you can eat.
Yeah.
Phil, you ever sausage a place?
Did I ever sausage a place? I don't know what that means.
That's a different roadside stop.
Tell
that
me more.
Was called, you've never sausage a place.
Is this something I could have done by accident?
Shit your pants? Yes.
Okay, Mikey, you got to give people more context for that one. It was one of our favorite roadside stops where they had
fresh station stuff.
Yeah, cured meats available. It was on the Georgia border.
It wasn't cured meats. It was just fucking sausages. It's just a sock stuffed with meat.
It's not a sock. It's a pink sock stuffed with meat.
What is it supposed to do?
Feed you?
It's a sausage-themed rest stop.
And it's called...
I never sausage a place.
See, this is some shit that I feel like maybe I'm tripping or something. I don't know what you guys are talking about at all.
It's like, I never saw such a place.
Oh my God. It's punny.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's why we stopped there.
That's cool. Yeah. I've never heard of it. I would also stop because I love that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm. It's not very good cool. though.
No.
Well, the first thing you guys loved it.
Here's the next question. What do they have there?
Take a wild guess, Phil. Yep. They make their own sausages.
And then everything else that's in American stores is also there as well.
In an American store?
Yeah. Yep.
Jeans.
All of them.
Flags.
I'm sure they have all those things.
Horses.
Flags, candy, what do you need? Yep. Ice cream.
Fireworks.
Smith and Wesson.
I'm sure.
Guns.
Guns. Sure.
Fucking more guns.
Big Red bubblegum.
Big Red?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Spicy. Good stuff. Cinnamon.
What do you think is the most American?
What do I think is the most American?
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to say John Cougar Mellencamp.
I'm going
to
go with Cooper Sharp.
Oh, it's cheddar.
Fucking cheese, bro. The cheese, bro.
Oh, you wouldn't say the Wisconsin curds or whatever?
I don't know. That just didn't land, so we have to move on.
We got to change topics here. Did you have any hot topics near you growing up?
Oh, of course I did. In Wilkes-Barre.
Oh, yeah?
It was a destination. A lot of hot pockets where I was from.
You're telling
honestly.
Me.
Ham and cheese, baby.
Did they sell hot pockets at the Hot Topic?
That would have been just way too much. No, there was hot topics for sure.
You have a studded belt?
I did at one point, yeah.
I still have mine.
You still have yours? Yeah, mine probably doesn't even fit. I had some wild belt buckle on it, too, that I got.
From the Hot Topic?
No, third party. Probably ordered it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What did you have? What was on it?
I can't remember. Maybe a bird or something. Something super punk.
Mm.
Damn, a bird. Wow, Phil, that's so punk.
Well, that's why we all love our favorite punk musician, Nelly Furtado.
Frittata.
Yeah, Nelly Furtado.
We used to change the words to that song when we'd be ordering food. We would say, I would like a bird. Don't let it get away. I want to fry up its fingers. And I think the last line was, and its wingers. that's all I remember lyrics. About it. I can't even think of the normal version anymore. It's like that that major key version of Losing My Religion. Did you ever hear that? Oh my God, that shit will change you, man. Oh my God, so good.
I heard the major key version of Smells Like Teen Spirit, and it wasn't so hot.
Right.
It wasn't
my favorite. Great. I mean, cool song for sure.
Oh, great song. Original song. Great song, of course.
You must check that out. Major Key, Losing My Religion by R.E.M. Changed my life for 4 minutes or however long it is.
You'll never be the same.
We'll have to link it on the description.
Yeah, link it on the description. What do you guys been listening to? Anything cool?
I listened to pretty much this podcast.
Damn, I was thinking more like cool, like music stuff. There was a song on here, though, that was cool because I was part of it.
Mm-hmm. I listened to pretty much the Super Weeks.
Nice.
Well, they're Nard, cool. What was that great Japanese track that you sent me a couple days ago where it was like a real genre bender? The name's in Japanese. So
well,
I
here's
see
the thing. I found a band called Temp Lime because the art for the artist was a fried tempura shrimp and lime.
Nice.
So
delish.
Temp Lime. I was like, all right, this sounds up my alley. And then it was great electronic music.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, Yule just put out a new single. I fucking love Yule. She's sick.
Nice.
You ever heard the band Wednesday?
No.
From Asheville?
No.
Very sick band. Okay. They're like kind of shoegazy.
Yeah, sure. Love that shit.
Playing, November 11th.
November Rain.
Original 13.
Okay.
You ever hear the band Pugsley?
Nope.
Little Adam's Family humor. Wednesday and Pugsley.
Oh my
the two
God,
kids.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, Wednesday's good though. I'm gonna go to that show. I mean,
we're at the place on
the cider
on American
spot.
Street.
Yeah,
that's cool.
They're really good. Oh, Yume Miru Adolescence.
Cool.
I guess we've been listening to that.
Okay.
What about yourself?
I heard a cool record the other day that was brought to me via Spotify robot algorithmics. I actually have to look. It was called Masters of the Hemisphere. You ever hear this band?
The name does sound familiar.
Is that like Magellan and like Columbus and all those guys formed
a
team?
No, we don't talk about that fucking bullshit. All right. That's also today. Fuck today.
Oh yeah.
Why am I even here today?
Columbus is garbage. Yeah. He was a genocidal maniac.
Right.
At the time of filming, we were celebrating Indigenous peoples.
Protest a Dark Anniversary is the name of the album. It came out in 2003. I think it's their last album, but it is just hit after hit of just really nice, bulky indie rock. Very Craig Shine rock.
Oh, our previous guest, reminded me of Craig.
And, yeah, you remember him.
I'll check it out.
Listening to that. Also listening to that song I recorded for you guys a bunch.
It's a good song.
It shows. You can find it on Spotify.
Yeah. Glad you picked me
and
for
Apple
it.
And Apple Music and everywhere else songs go.
Honestly, I've been ripping some corn lately.
Fuck yeah.
Yo,
dude.
Totally always corn.
Yo, speaking of corn, can we talk about what Fred Durst looks like right now? Because it's pretty cool, I think.
Yo, we actually talked about this a couple weeks ago.
Fuck.
I forget
dude.
Who we were talking to about it. Was it a Ravens episode? He looks good. It's the best he's ever looked.
I think he really came through, you know, having that really the like. Wig. That's fine.
Is that true?
I'm wearing a wig right now.
No way.
Yeah,
hey,
watch.
Hey, pal, Americans don't count.
For the listener, Phil just took off his wig. He's got another head under there. He's a regular Voldemort.
Underneath the wig was even longer hair for some reason. He looks great, though, especially, you know, he had the iconic, really crappy look of the red baseball cap and some t-shirt and stuff or whatever. And now he looks really cool. Now he looks cool.
Yeah, he's got some like real like friendly version of the Unabomber glasses on. He's got like a handlebar mustache.
To me, sure. He looks like if you combined Colonel Sanders and Mike Bell.
He looks like he doesn't want anyone to know that he was in Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, there's that too. Well, Phil, do you have a new metal nugget that you cherish, similar to Korn?
That was a realm that...
This is a Power Man 5000 guy, if I've ever seen one.
That was a realm I didn't really dip my toe in too much. I mean, I was there for Korn and Limp Bizkit for sure. I can't really think of anything else at the moment.
No Slipknot?
No, I was never a Slipknot head. I really shied away from really like heavier stuff, I guess.
You were too genteel.
I was too charismatic as a 13-year-old.
Yeah, exactly.
To be listening to that trash.
Oh, all you wore rockin' JNCO jeans with that studded belt that you had? And then,
no, I was wearing, at the time of the studded belt, I was wearing some really, really tight bootcut jeans with some sort of like screen printed, probably a bird on it again.
Wow. Your favorite band, Belle and Sebastian.
Right.
I was going to say, it sounds more like you're the John Cougar Mellencamp of this scenario.
That's true.
That's right on brand.
I mean, birds.
I don't actually even like birds that much, in theory.
Would you say you dislike birds?
I wouldn't say I dislike birds, no. That would be extremely rude of me.
Birds do you like?
Oh, God. Where do I even begin?
Blue jay?
Sure. Beautiful bird. Cardinal. Love it.
Red. Absolutely.
Against the white snow of winter, the cardinal always... Oh, my God. I have no idea what I'm talking about.
It's just a little poetry from up in the northern realm.
Yeah,
it's a real northeast sense of humor going on there.
Yeah, it's a dirt road.
Dirt road humor.
Dirt road humor.
Well, that's the name of this episode.
The blue-footed booby.
Right. Love.
That's just on the Galapagos Island. Yeah, that's
love those.
Regional here. Sure. You visit Galapagos a lot?
I have been there a few times. Yeah, we did a couple Luther tours there.
Playing for the tortoises and the whatnot.
The titmice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it.
Nice.
Well, why'd you go to Galapagos? Is it because you're such a big Vonnegut fan? You read his book, Galapagos, and you wanted to experience it for yourself?
I went for the turtles.
Gullah Island?
Yep. That's right next door, right?
You wanted to see Binya Binya?
I was a little too old for Gullah Island.
We all were, and yet we all know it.
Fuck. Okay. Just outed myself.
Acclaimed children's television show.
I mean, I have younger siblings. Do you, Phil?
No, I'm the youngest sibling.
Yeah, that makes sense why you were watching Gullah Island.
Yeah.
Because you're a kid.
I wasn't watching.
TV's chill.
TV's cool.
Yeah?
I was in the throes of Doug and... Ren and Stimpy, and, you know, of course.
The throes of Doug. The most mild mind-altering cartoons.
Do you remember Eureka's Castle?
I do remember Eureka's Castle. That's fine. That's actually some of my earliest memories are Eureka's Castle, Punch-Out for Nintendo 1. And also my parents listening to Talking Heads at Christmas time. And
you thinking that was Christmas music.
I also remember, I also remember one of my earliest memories is asking my mother when I was going to become 4 years old.
Wow.
I had no concept of birthdays or time.
How old were you at that time?
You're like 7 or 8 then?
I think I was 3 at the time. I was like kind of getting a grip on the whole thing, but it wasn't until True Detective season 1 that I realized that time was a fat circle. I was like, oh, sorry.
It took you all the way to True Detective season 1 to get that one.
Yeah.
That's where the fat circle theory came from.
I mean, that was a phenomenal.
Oh my God. If anyone here has an HBO login, please throw it my way because I want to watch that so bad.
You've seen it.
I've seen it, yeah.
It's tremendous. I haven't.
Oh my God, it's amazing. There's a lot of stuff I haven't seen, though.
Like True Detective season 2 and 3.
Tried to watch that.
That same joke, goddammit.
Tried to watch that. Literally couldn't hear it.
Did you have the volume on your TV off?
It wasn't the TV. I was swapping cables out.
the old swip swap. Classic issue. Very common problem.
Oh my God.
Can I tell you the drummer in my high school band? So Vince Vaughn was the detective in season 2, right?
Yeah.
Drummer in my high school band played a bit part in a movie with Vince Vaughn where he is one of his
henchmen.
300 kids or whatever. Where he's like a sperm donor and like all of his kids come to find him or something. Okay. I haven't seen the movie.
Sure.
I just remember seeing the trailer and being like, oh, that's the drummer from my band in high school.
Wow. Very cool.
Yeah, that's fine.
I wish I was in a movie.
What movie would you want to be in if you had to pick? Pre-existing, or you can pitch one for us.
Oh my God, I have this great idea. No, I don't have anything. We can't do this right now. I would like to talk about the stuff that I haven't seen that I want you guys to react to and see if I'm being crazy or not.
Cool. Lay it on us. What have you not seen?
Any of this stuff. You ready? The Sopranos.
Haven't seen it either.
Haven't seen it.
Oh my God, are you kidding me?
Haven't seen it.
This Next. Is so comforting. I don't know. Breaking Bad.
Can't watch it.
Can't even watch it? It's the volume thing.
It's too intense. No. Too intense.
Too intense.
He heard that they sacrificed a pizza. It's against his religion.
I saw the first season and a half.
I got bored and I stopped watching.
Too intense.
Okay. That's pretty much it. I think I've seen everything else.
Oh, well, it seems like you don't have to bother.
You're a busy man. Thanks for making time in your TV schedule.
As somebody who has watched the last episode of The Sopranos, mm-hmm. I haven't seen the rest of it, so I have no fucking idea what went on in that show.
Sure.
Last episode wasn't that good.
There's nothing happened.
I think I kind of have an idea of what happens, what goes on. I know what it's about.
It's about Italian food.
Uh-huh. Goombas.
When you hear your family... Guns.
Uh-huh. Marone.
Gabagool.
Sure. Bada bings.
Uh-huh. And probably a little bit of sleeping with the fishes.
Yeah.
Probably a nice pair of cement shoes.
There you go. I've been trying to get a pair of those for a minute, man. They are hard to find in my size.
Did you watch Game of Thrones?
No Game of Thrones.
I've never seen it.
I saw some of it.
Well, there you go.
Mikey was in it.
Well, there you go.
I'm not a TV head. I mean, I guess I am. I watch some shit for sure, but it's like...
Seen everything else, but those three things.
You've never seen
I just want always I always want something to look forward to, you know what I mean?
Wait, for the best one more time. I was distracted because I was thinking about how Mikey is like the template for the Dothraki Warriors on that show.
What show? Sopranos?
Yeah.
Look, have you ever seen Star Wars?
I enjoy Star Wars very much.
I only saw the first three.
Now, when you say first three.
The ones that happened in the 70s.
You mean time-wise? Or you mean like
look, he's saying the ones that took place in the 70s.
I saw the ones that took place in the 70s, and I saw the one that Jar Jar Binks starred in. Mm. Other than that,
that's not only the first three, Evan.
Yeah.
I don't count Jar Jar Binks goes to college a Star Wars movie.
You're thinking of Ernest.
Time for a bumper sandwich, booger lips.
Ernest scared shitless.
You're on it.
That's a great film.
Now, I have seen Biodome. Oh, probably about 40 times.
I actually just watched Son-in-Law for the first time. If you've seen
Pauly Shore joint.
All right.
So good.
That's supposed to be like his legitimate best.
That's what people be saying. This is the best one.
Would you?
And I was a Biodome head and an Encino Man head.
Encino Man is very so good.
Yeah.
Well, that's the peak hunk formation of Brendan Fraser right there.
Right.
And not to mention Sean Astin. Or wait, is that Sean Astin in that?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Rudy.
Samwise Gamgee.
Rudy the Mummy and Son-in-Law all in the same film.
Oh. You're saying Brendan Fraser is the Mummy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Mommy?
My favorite Brendan Fraser movie, The Mommy.
The Mommy?
Brendan Fraser is Mommy. That's a question.
So, Phil, you lived at Big Mama's Warehouse.
That is true. Oh, my God.
With Mikey, I think, at the same time.
Definitely with Mikey.
I forget.
You forget? Because we're fucking high as fuck all the time.
Said I frick you.
Mikey's idiosyncratic way.
I frick you.
Yeah. Yeah, we crushed it.
You have a good time?
Oh, I loved it. Oh, my God. Yeah, it was fucking amazing. I was like a grape in a microwave. You know what I mean?
I have put a grape in the microwave, so I don't know what you mean.
Wow.
Whoa. He turned away.
Didn't you ever see that video?
No.
I just saw it today.
I used to put fruit in the microwave on paper plates and press the button that all the juice went out on the paper plates and would make art with the juices.
Wow.
When I was a child.
You should have fucking lived at Big Mama's, dude.
I did.
Damn, that's cool. Anyway, when you put a grape in a microwave, it like, yeah, I think you got to put it in a cup or something, but it like all of there's some kind of stuff in it that like is flammable and like lightning comes out of it and it's like fucking beautiful and crazy. Just like me. At Big Mama's, baby.
I kind of want to try this now.
Don't do it now. I'm not sure if it actually works.
Don't email us.
My brother put a fork in the microwave.
Plasma. That's what it is, man. Plasma.
Oh, yeah. Like the sun in our blood.
Yes.
It has plasma in it.
Wait, is plasma flammable?
It's a phase of state.
Right. State of plas.
The plas, baby.
The plas, dude. So what were your favorite warehouse moments?
Some of my favorite warehouse moments. Oh, God. Just blasting tons of Adderall in my room and being really mad all the time. No, it was great. It was amazing. It was really, I really attribute that time to, it's obviously heavily connected to being in spirit because that's what was happening at the time. And I was living with Pat and Tim, you know, we're in such close quarters and getting to be really tight. And we were practicing there. I mean, we were already tight, but practicing there a bunch and.
It's a small room.
It was just fucking so great. It was like so awesome to be there. There was like what did you say?
It's a small room.
Oh my God. Yeah. My favorite thing about living there was that I didn't have to duck anywhere. very comfortable place to live.
Mikey's joke is that it was close quarters. So you were tight. It was a tight situation. You see how much she's laughing right now?
I need this to be explained to me slowly.
So the three of you were tight. I know it's not a one-to-one.
That's what
here.
You said.
The three of you were tight.
I was just saying.
You're getting tight.
It's a and small room.
He was saying it's because it was a small room. Maybe some sort of trash compactor scenario he's envisioning where the room was closing in on you and making it even tighter.
I think it was because the cork fell out.
Got
the
him.
The cork had fallen out.
You had
for
cummed?
Sure. Say again.
Nothing. Sorry.
Nothing. That's how you know it was bad.
Anyway, you were saying something.
It was fucking fun as fuck to live there.
Yeah.
Definitely a place that like I wish that I didn't move out when I did. Wish that I had lived there a little bit longer for sure.
Life happens sometimes, you know?
That's true. I learned a valuable lesson. Stay in the largest home that you have.
Well, that one tickled Evan for some reason. He's really loving that one.
I think that was a great lesson to learn from that.
Yeah, it was fun staining all the pots and pans with turmeric.
Hell yeah.
Loved playing pool there all the time. Got really good at pool. Loved swinging on the swing.
Mm-hmm. Inside.
Which
nothing also like sometimes swing. Felt like outside.
Yeah.
All of the time.
Also, one of my favorite rooms, of course. I don't know. I can't remember who had the room before me, but maybe it was Craig, and then Craig took Peter's room. Right.
Where were you?
That sounds
I was in the room that was like the wall to the kitchen, right to the right. And like straight was Craig's room and to the left was Tim's room. I was like,
oh, you were the old Kyle Pulley room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Kyle Pulley. There you go. Mm.
Yes. Previous guest.
One of my favorite rooms that I had to put all my stuff in and set up and something I really enjoy decorating a room. Mm.
There is a certain satisfaction that comes from decorating your space and making it your own.
Yeah, it's the best. One of my favorite things.
What was your take on that space at Big Mama's that made it yours?
All my stuff was there.
Okay. Hard to argue with that.
What do you mean?
How did you make it your own? Did you customize the space at all?
Other than falling through the steps. there was nothing else that I really did just besides put all my stuff there and have it be nice. You know, but it's just like, you know, with the loft situation and the huge fucking windows in the front. It was just like, you know, just great to be there and fuck with it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Windows and stuff.
Yeah. Love windows, dude. Vibe.
Yeah, you lived on the back side of the building, which faced the Randolph side.
Yes.
And those big, beautiful windows in those two bedrooms that were there were...
So great.
Enviable.
I remember one time, Craig, you know, we were both trying to kind of wrangle the window situation in the throes of summer heat and winter. What's the opposite of heat?
Cold.
Winter cold. Yeah.
Wow. I guess Evan's not high. You can tell the difference between the two.
Craig had figured out a way to put a wood-burning stove in his room.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
And,
I didn't know he had one in his room.
I was like, wow, this is just like so beautiful. It's so cute in here and great. And it's going to be so cozy. And then I remember coming home one day and just like walking into my room. And then there's just smoke billowing everywhere. And like opening his door. And he was like in there with somebody. And he was just like, yo, yeah, I don't know. Whatever. I was like, dude, it didn't take. That was really funny. I also, one of my, a word game that we had learned on a spirit tour, we were on tour with the hotelier and they taught us a game called Fat Cat, which I know you guys are familiar with.
Oh yes. I was playing this with the members of Big Nothing the other day.
Yeah, sure.
You give clues, you come up with a rhyming phrase in your head and you give your contestants clues.
Sure.
From those clues, they have to guess what the rhyming words are that you've come up with. Evan was unfamiliar. I was trying to help him out.
Yeah. You have a phrase. I mean, it comes from, you know, fat cat would be an answer. Mm-hmm. And you would say, the example is an obese feline.
Got it.
So the answer always rhymes. But one day we got really into that game. And I think Craig may have forgotten to pay the electric bill at some point. There was no power there for a day or two. But we sat in the garage for hours until it was fucking pitch black, just sitting there playing Fat Cat for so long. It was so much fun. Can't remember any of the answers. Nothing that cool, but.
Big pig.
A big pig?
Big pig.
Evan, you gotta.
So you're doing it wrong. Is this a way how you're not supposed to play? Oh my god, dude.
Shit!
Oh, he meant, what is big pig?
Wait, so I'm supposed to ask the question and say.
Well, if you have big pig in your mind, what you're supposed to do is reword it, and like, then you say that version, and then we guess the answer, which is big pig.
Like, for instance, Evan, you probably would have said if you understood what was going on.
Fat hog.
Large bacon.
Large future bacon.
Fat hog. Fat hog. You're like, I don't want to fucking play this game at all, dude.
So wait, is fat hog wrong?
I mean, it's
a little on the nose. You kind of want to have some intrigue and some.
No, you're right. You're right.
Some lateral thinking.
If I was sitting around with some people and someone just said that, I'd probably
you'd have some trouble for a second
or something.
All right, so then would you say fabulous future bacon?
Wow,
big is fabulous. Big and fabulous are synonyms.
Big synonyms. And what did you just say?
Huh? Synonyms. Oh, did I oink in the middle by accident? I got pig on the brain.
All right, let's
say bagel witch.
Bagel witch.
Okay, so.
Wait, Mikey, are you doing, you're doing a fat
cat? No, it was not. So, oh, you're
just
saying
bagel witch. Just trying out new words.
Yeah. I just want to do the answers.
See, this is the problem with this game is once you start doing it, your brain shuts off and you're just like, what rhymes is weird?
No, I know.
So pretend it didn't happen.
All right, I got one for you. I got nothing. I can't do it.
That's fine. Ask me another question, quick.
Expelling thoughts.
Oh, you talking about, I don't know.
Trying to do brain drain.
Oh my God, I totally could have got that. Give me one more second.
I missed the clue. I was talking to Mikey.
I don't know if it was good. I don't even know if I'm playing this game right. Doesn't matter. We're not playing a game. We're here to do a podcast.
Yeah, ask me questions.
Tell us a story about when you lived at the warehouse.
I just did.
Another.
That's how we got off track. What the fuck?
All right.
So how do you see Big Mama's fitting in with like how it influenced you as a musician? You're talking about how it made you a member of Spirit.
For sure.
There's a collaborative spirit, if you will.
Yes.
And living there.
There was. Just constantly being around super prolific and talented people who were doing stuff all the time. It's just like that shit just totally bleeds into you. And like, I don't know. It's just, it's more like, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Like, you know, you can't help for it to happen, but for it to happen. You know what I mean?
Shakespearean tongue. Yeah. So I like that.
But yeah, you just like, you know, when you're surrounded by that many people, it's like fucking school. That's what I imagine like camp to be like. You're just around that many people that are doing so much different shit. Like you can't help but be influenced and be step up your shit. And that totally happened.
That is an interesting way of thinking about it. And it was kind of like a resort camp for like crusty little punk artists.
Yeah. I mean, we were all very well dressed and had great hygiene.
All? But yeah, it's like, I mean, we're all still mostly live in the same city, but it's like we're all camp friends looking back on it and like corresponding with each other in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the hags, if you will, that have a great summer or whatever.
Hackers.
You know, for every person that lived there, you know, there's five other people, like all of their bandmates or five other people, you know, that would come through and be doing the same shit, you know? Not to mention you guys doing the studio the whole time, like whoever was rolling through the house and recording and stuff, you know?
There was
always something there to be.
To crack your beer or pour your coffee or make your eggs.
Yeah. Always at night with the eggs. Mm. So good. Love those night eggs.
Working on the night eggs, just like Bob Seger sang about.
Bob Siegel.
Yeah, good times though, for sure. I miss it a lot. I still have my garage door key. Do you think it works?
Honestly, dude, the other day I finally took my Big Mama's keys off my keychain.
Oh god.
So I was like, we're not gonna get to go back. I gotta accept it. I think the pool table might still be there.
No. Oh yeah, no, I think it was.
Yeah.
I don't remember
it. Oh, but it wasn't there when we did the walkthrough. We went back a year later.
Mm. Yikes. How about my dresser? Is my dresser still there? My mom's really upset about that.
You left your dresser?
I did. Didn't fit in the car. My rash decision to move.
Was she going to use it?
She wasn't going to use it, but she wants me to use it.
Mm.
What do you do now? Just put your clothes on the floor?
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed, but I'm wearing 19 t-shirts right now.
Just open an imaginary drawer and just throw it.
Yeah. You just, it's the concept of the dresser that stuck with me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's emblematic of the things we left behind.
Yeah.
Well, what else has been going on in your life for these days?
Nothing too crazy. You know, we're in this post fucking deadly viral world. You know what I'm saying?
What do you mean post?
I mean, it's still going on. That's the thing, too. It's still fucking going on. But
my
mom
has COVID right now.
Are you serious?
And she's vaccinated. Oh
my God. And she's vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. And my brother-in-law, who's unvaccinated, also has COVID.
Yeah, it's his own fucking fault, though. Yeah.
I mean, every time I pass a Rite Aid, I go in and get a dose. So.
Oh, yeah. I noticed you were horribly swollen all over your body when you walked in.
Can't get enough of that stuff.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
I thought you walked out of your acupuncture appointment.
Yeah. Nah, it's all vaccines, baby. And also, my feet feel great.
Thought you were getting like braille done.
What?
Oh my God.
You know that classic procedure of using hundreds of syringes, braille.
Oh my God.
Damn, I can't believe you have braille.
I mean, it happens. I'm vaccinated too. God, so fucking annoying. What were we talking about though?
You.
Oh yeah, you were just straight up like, what's going on in my life?
Yeah.
I'm just chilling. I'll be working again. I live alone right now, which is pretty cool for the first time in my life.
Wow.
Which is great. It's been pretty nice.
Well, speaking of living alone, did you have any unprecedented hauntings in this apartment of yours now that you're in a spooky solo scenario?
Funny you should ask. It is an old building, I'm sure. I don't feel very spooked out being there, but there was a occurrence that happened a few days ago where I was sleeping. First off, super scary. In the middle of the night.
Wait, you were sleeping in the middle of the night?
Yeah, that's egg time, dude.
I know, it's weird.
Anyway.
I was all jacked on yolks. And I woke up in the middle of the night because a framed picture fell off of the wall. I have everything hanging by thumbtacks also, which is pretty stupid.
Okay.
But, Kev Keenan would be looking down on you.
Oh, my God.
If he was there.
He'll come by, fix the steps. It'll be fine.
There's a height disparity there with the looking down.
Phil was sleeping in a bed.
I was sleeping in my bed, in my room, in the back. In the middle of the night, I was awoken. I woke from the sound of a picture frame falling off the ground. It was glass front, hit the ground, cracked. It didn't smash. I wouldn't have gotten up anyway to clean it or anything. But I was trying to fall back asleep and I was kind of having anxiety, like kind of waiting for something to happen again, you know. The next thing I know, the alarm was going off and I woke up getting ready for work and I looked over and in the wall, stuck in the wall, were the earrings that I had fallen asleep with in. They were just jammed in the wall next to each other. And I woke up and I was like, oh no, these are going to get fucked up. And I pulled them out of the wall. And then I just like started getting ready and brushing my teeth. And I was just like, wait a minute. And I was like, what the fuck was that? How the fuck did that happen?
Wait, not near your bed?
Like in the wall next to the bed.
Okay.
Just stuck in the wall. And I don't know what the deal was.
So it was Spectre.
Aliens or ghost or, Spectre. Yeah, or Phil Spectre. Phil maybe Spectre. That's why they were attracted to me at the time. I haven't felt weird, right? It doesn't feel like tense or anything in there. I don't know how that shit works. I burn incense all the time, so it should be chill.
Oh yeah, ghosts are afraid of smells. It's the closest thing to them. I know it's here, but I can't see it.
But yeah, I don't know. That's been the freakiest thing. Other than that, there has been a cricket that I don't know if it's just right by the window or if it's like a foot long, but it sounds like an old telephone ringing in my room. It's so loud. I have to sleep with earplugs in. It's so annoying.
So is this window next to your bed?
Of course it is.
And this cricket, have you seen it?
I haven't seen it. I mean, it sounds like I could just look, open the door, and it's going to be there like smoking a cigarette or something. It sounds like it's very loud.
Do you think maybe this cricket was hopping around your Yeah. Hopping around your crown in the middle of the evening and searching for a glistening object to swipe from your earlobes?
It could be. Yeah, it's just kind of a little freaky. But other than that, it's been fucking great, dude. So good.
Yeah.
All I do is watch Mystery Science Theater 3K, baby.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the only one.
Wear minimal clothes, play lots of video games, hang out in the yard. It's just the best. Make eggs. Any time of day.
Mm-hmm. Any time of day. Well, I guess there's nobody there to watch you, so
that's not
enforcing the night egg law.
You know, some states you can't eat eggs past 8 or 9, I hear. But I'm not going to be living there. That's for sure.
Yeah, we don't need any of those backwards politics and those day egg states. Day
eggs. Fucking shitty antiquated.
The country's never been more divided.
A one hard boil, yeah.
Yes, dude.
It took me so.
Do one with Dippy. You guys say Dippy eggs?
Crack out.
Or am I a child?
What are Dippy eggs?
We're running.
What are Dippy eggs? Fucking take one guess.
I've been a vegan for 14 years. This is like outside of my wheelhouse.
This is totally.
Do you make like a sauce with the
eggs? Ubiquity of eggs.
I'm going with sandwich. This is going to be sunny side up.
Nailed it.
Poking the yolks, you know? Poking.
Poking yolks, man. Yeah, that's what I do.
Out, put it in the yolk.
My father was in the Air Force in the 70s.
Oh, during the Great Yolk Wars.
Yes, he was a cook.
Would he be called a yokel?
I think
so. A cook in the Yolk Wars. He's on the front lines.
Front lines, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he was a front line chef.
He makes a mean egg. I know the way. He taught me how to make it. He makes mean eggs. They're nice eggs, but he makes great eggs.
They're mean.
It's in my blood.
I didn't think the Air Force was known for having good eggs. Isn't that part of like military experience? That you have like the powdered eggs that you rehydrate with water in your military rations?
No, I mean, it was the 70s. It seemed like it was a pretty loose time.
Oh, yeah. Everyone was mustachioed and they're...
What? Such a sexy time for the military. Yeah, we don't have to talk about that. That was stupid. Take that out. Love my dad, though.
That's excellent.
And my mom. And my brother.
In that order.
Cut that out. Make sure you cut that.
Yeah, we don't want anyone to know your weakness. Otherwise, you're indestructible.
Super tall, mad familial.
Tall.
Are we reading your dating profile right now?
Oh, my God.
It just says eggs. It says night eggs.
Super tall.
Just
loves
pictures
eggs.
Of different eggs you
marry
cooked.
Marry me.
Like eggs? I got them.
So, Phil, we've talked a lot about our shared history together, and we've talked a lot about night eggs.
I feel like that episode should be called Night Eggs.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll debate it. But what are you working on now, and where can people find you if you want them to?
The last musical thing that I have done was over the spring. I was living with Tim Jordan. I had puked out some songs for that time and stepped into his bedroom and recorded them, which is great. It's under the name Mondo Focus Power. Three songs that I have recorded under that so far. Working on some more always. Now that I have just moved into my house, I really got to step up my home recording thing.
You got to focus your power.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mondoid. But you can listen to that if you want. I think they're pretty cool. Three fun songs.
Where can people find them?
You can find them on Bandcamp, baby. Bandcamp, www.bandcamp.mondofocuspower.com.
That's not how their URL works.
Get the app.
Is it Mondo Focus Power?
Yeah.
.bandcamp.com.
Three words all together as one.
Just like Captain Planet.
Yeah. So good. But it sounds a lot different than that theme song.
Oh, you really missed opportunity there. Perfect tune.
Yeah, that's the last thing that I've done. I'll continue to do stuff through that and just put stuff on the Bandcamp. The picture is of two geese in a lake that my grandmother took. Unmistakable. That's pretty much it.
Cool.
If you want to hang out, I'll be playing video games in my house alone.
Oh, wait.
With minimal clothes.
Did you buy a Switch?
I've had a Switch, dude. Are you kidding me?
Not for the listeners, but we'll swap our Nintendo tags.
Yeah, the friend code.
Yeah, our friend codes.
Very cool. Mm. But yeah, that's pretty much it. It's everything about me.
All right. Any social media stuff you want people to look at?
Not really. No, I don't really use that stuff too much. Unless you're selling stuff on Facebook Marketplace. You let me know.
Well, if you got any good steals and deals, send them Phil's way. Be sure to look up Philip Wasner.
I'm selling.
You'll find him, top hit.
You buying? I'm selling.
I'm looking for a hockey jersey right now. You got anything in my size?
I got some basketball jerseys in your size.
Okay. Put three of those together. You got yourself a hockey jersey. You've been listening to the Super Week Super Weekly Supercast. Thank you for being here, Phil.
Thanks
we love
coming,
you, buddy.
Phil.
Thank you so much. Love you guys. This is really fun. Super cool and great.
Bye, Phil.
When you say that many things, it really feels disingenuous.
I'm
great,
sorry,
grand,
it's just the
wonderful.
Way
goodbye.